chapter, Philippians chapter 4. Again, people have been asking about my wrist, and I'll find out on Tuesday if it is. They're going to cut the cast off and then re-x-ray it and then determine if I need the cast put back on or not. I'm going to somehow get a fake cast so I don't ever have to wear a suit again. I'll just clip it on in the mornings with the thumb covered so I don't. They tell me putting something around your neck tight is not good for the circulation of the wrist. And so I don't think I'll be able to wear a tie again. I'm sorry. I really want to. No, but Tuesday I do go in early in the morning and get an update on this. And so I may be back in a suit by next week. I don't know. But thank you for your prayers. Paul takes us back to this thought here in Philippians chapter 4 that really doesn't matter what our circumstances are, there are still always opportunities to rejoice. You can even be sad in heart, but rejoice. There can be negative things going on in your life, if I can characterize them that way, but still be at peace. You think maybe a sport, maybe football, that's kind of going on now, basketball. You might be sad because a player got injured and might be a long road to recovery, but they might be happy at the same time because they won the game. Well, those are both emotions, but I want us to realize you can be sad and happy at the same time. Well, we're talking about something beyond just being happy. We're talking about having a settled peace in our heart, that we can rejoice in the Lord. What's the next word? Always. And again, I say rejoice. And so Paul is actually going to take us through writing the church of Philippi some things regarding finances. He says he can both be abased and abound, and he's talking about in a financial structure, and still rejoice, and rejoice greatly. Now, finances can be challenging, can't they? They can kind of take the wind out of our sails. They lead to many arguments within the home. I hope they're not leading to arguments within your home. Situations, circumstances should not lead to arguments. You ought to both have a settled peace in your heart and work at it together and not be attacking one another. But the reality of it is sometimes because of the finances and what's going on, or plummeting finances, missing money, a lack of overtime hours, whatever it may be, sometimes we take a financial setback. And I think through this message, we're going to learn that we can rejoice in the Lord always. I thought it was interesting, the song that we just sang, Thanks for to my Redeemer, thanks to God for my Redeemer. But in verse number 2, he goes through thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Listen to this. Thanks for what thou hast denied. Here, sometimes we ask and he denies. And the writer had enough forethought to put that in a song for us to sing about. That's why I love the old hymns. They don't miss anything. It's not just a upbeat, happy all the time song. It takes us through the truths of life. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. So even this songwriter is saying, hey, let's rejoice, even though we're talking about pain, even though we're talking about things that have been denied, even though we're talking about storms that we've had to weather or get through. And so I want to talk to you about rejoicing in the Lord always, especially when we're in difficult circumstances, and I'm especially going to gear that toward financial because of the passage of Scripture this morning. Before I pray, let's begin by reading, starting with verse 9, because it kind of prepares us for where we're going to start today. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And I'll explain what that verse means in a minute. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Again, in verse number 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received, the things that he learned and hopefully they saw in him. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed, full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to it is important for us to learn how to rejoice no matter what our circumstances are, and especially as we're going to focus a little bit on finances here this morning. I'm not aware of the financial structure of most all of our families here. But I'm sure for some it's a time of difficulty. I'm sure for some it's a time of limitation. And even as we get close to our Christmas season, to gift beyond what they're really able to, it's sometimes even just that brings a little bit of discouragement, though it shouldn't, Lord. And so I pray that this morning's message will be helpful and practical, lead to a better understanding of our own lives personally. Father, for anyone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, may they recognize that's the most important thing to know from your word. May they learn more about him today. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to consider a couple things here together this morning. And the first thought I want us to consider would be taken from verses 10 through 12 in the passage that I just read, and about how you should have contentment to the place of complacency. That's kind of an interesting thing, because of complacency. Paul here is writing, and he's going to talk to you about how he has learned some things, and he's been instructed in some things, and I don't know who his instructor was, and I don't know exactly when he would have had to been taught. Paul, because of his rearing, and because of his nationality, and because of his stature, would have been probably raised in quite an affluent family. Probably as Paul grew up as a child, he wasn't in a Paul would have been well taken care of. But being saved began a series of trials in his life. By the way, becoming a child of God does not put us into a bed of roses or into the lap of luxury as it happens. In fact, initially as a Christian, sometimes people are meant to question the Lord and meant to even sometimes entertain the idea of should have even done this. Because ever since I've gotten saved, someone might say, I've gone through all kinds of trials, and I want you to know, dear Christian, that so often is the case. Sometimes our desires have changed. Sometimes we give up some of the overtime hours that we were getting because of wanting to get to church and wanting to be involved in certain ministries, and because of that, there's some kind of natural fallout. Other times, we just have been thrown into the test of fire, and God is testing our faith and trying to strengthen us. Paul here, after getting saved, lost that affluency that he had, and was told by the Lord there are some things that he's going to have to suffer for his sake, and one of that, he was going to have to suffer financially. Becoming a missionary is not something that generally leads to profitability. Generally, it's going to lead to really checking the budget closely, keeping tabs on all spending financially very closely. And Paul was no different than that. Paul was now having to go through some time where he's going to have to learn how to be, going to have to be instructed in some of those areas. Notice what he says in verse number 10. He says, "But I rejoiced," past tense, "in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me flourished again." And that's the idea, to resprout. It was actually a term that would often be used when talking of vegetation. Maybe something even like a tree in the spring as it begins to throw forth the buds of the early spring and to throw out the blossoms and the leaves that begin to develop. It's as that idea, and he says, here you are as a church, and you're now at the last, your care hath flourished again. Wherein you are also careful, by the way, different than the word be careful for nothing. This is having the idea of it's just been, this is something that's been on your mind. You've been thinking about, how can we take care of Paul? But look at the end of verse number 10, but ye lacked opportunity. And the reason you haven't been able to give isn't because you don't care. You've been careful. You know what's going on. But you didn't have the opportunity, and the opportunity was this. They're in Philippi, and he currently is in Rome. Now, if you go as the bird flies, as they might say, it's about 600, 620 miles. As you would have to journey by land, it's probably a journey of almost 800 miles. So for them to get finances, they might have gathered for one of their missionaries. It's not like we do. Where dear brother Bartow just puts a check in the mail at the beginning of the month and able to send it to their church or a missionary clearinghouse or their mission board, and they're able to get that money is within days. This is something where it had to be sometimes saved up for a period of time until someone was heading toward Rome where Paul was. And so they cared about him, but Paul says, I'm still rejoicing in the Lord greatly. That was before the money ever came, even though now you've resprouted, you've given to me again. Not that I speak in respect of want, he says in verse number 11. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be, what's the word? Content. It's really interesting, though, in doing a word study. It has the idea of being so content, you just realize, hey, everything I have is sufficient. If God would give me nothing more than he already has given me, he owes me nothing. And he's still been so gracious and good. But it also has this idea, content to the place of complacency. Now, we often think of being complacent as a negative. Yeah, he's not doing a good job. He's really complacent. She's not followed through with that project. She's just been complacent. And the idea, just don't care. Just not motivated. But this word content has the idea of so content, not concerned. Complacent. Not worried about where the next payment's coming, not fixed on where the money's coming from next. Remember, giving everything to the Lord, now I'm going to focus on the things that are true and the things that are honest and the things that are just, the things that are pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, we're thinking on those things and having the peace of God welling up in our heart. And so Paul has gotten to the place, and this is where we ought to get to the place as Christians, that we learn to be content to the place of complacent. By the way, I want to be really careful. I don't want to get us to the place of, well, whatever. And you tell the wife, hey, I'm just being complacent about this. No, we need to provide for our family, and we need to try to do our best to meet the needs. But Paul is not becoming overwhelmed with the financial structure. In fact, he said, this is something I've had to learn, and it might be true in your life. depending on what's happening right now in your finances. And we have a number of seniors here with us, and I'm so thankful for the seniors we have, and so sad to have lost another one this past week, but thankful he is now with the Lord. But as you're a senior, you're probably not noticing more money coming in. In fact, you're probably noticing more is going out. You have the bill, you have still the things that need to be taken care of, you have the doctor's appointments, and not everything is always covered. And so you might be in a place where it can become a little frantic. How long can I make it? How long can I be sustained? How long can I stay where I am? How long? And I want you to know, you may have to learn. But okay, I'm going to do my best in cutting my spending. I'm going to be careful in where I allow the monies to go. And by the way, be really careful. I've talked to a number of seniors over the last couple of years that have really gotten caught up in some of these people sending you, requesting money for their ministries. I did a little research on one a couple years ago. One of the seniors came to me and said, "Pastor, I've been given money, and I'm really having a tough time." And I said, "Well, why don't you bring me the paperwork?" And they said, "Well, I know it's genuine. They have my name at the top, so he must be typing." And I'm sorry, this person isn't with us, or I may not go into this detail. But they were convinced, since their name was on the envelope and their name was at the top of the letter, the guy was personally addressing it to them. And so I actually did a little research on this gentleman. He lives in California. He's in a mansion worth $3 million. It is one of five businesses he owns. He's been in court a number of times in California because of the wording of his letters. And because of the way he was wording it, his collection of money from well-meaning, mostly seniors, was figured out to be criminal. And so what he did is he changed the wording of it, and they said, "Well, with the changing of that wording, we can now just, you're not a criminal anymore." And so he's a multimillionaire. By the way, he doesn't see the paper that the letters are coming out on. That's computer technology this day. And so please be really careful. Sometimes we get the, "Oh, I'm helping this ministry and that ministry," and sometimes to your own loss. And so again, I think you have that responsibility to make sure that you're not overspending, and you have the responsibility to be a good steward. But then we've got to learn to rest in what the Lord allows us to have. Remember, thanks to the Lord for answered prayer, and thanks for the Lord for the things He denies. And sometimes what the Lord denies is that we would have it easy and that we would have an abundance of money and maybe that we would stay where we are. The reality is, God will take care of you. And the reality of it is, Paul has found out that I have learned that while it's sometimes been tough, we'll see that in a moment, I've learned to be content to the place of complacent. I'm not going to get worked up. I'm not going to get frantic. I'm not going to get agitated. I'm not going to get angry. We're going to leave this in the Lord's hands. By the way, again, couples, you really got to guard against allowing this to become a fuel that brings anger and disruption to your home. If each of you are walking in the Spirit, each of you ought to be demonstrating love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And maybe one is improperly spending, and sometimes as a dear brother or sister in Christ, you need to address that, but you need to address it in a loving and biblical way. By the way, ladies, let me just give you a little food for thought. This wasn't premeditated, but probably a really good place to put it into a message like this. You say, "Well, what can I do? I'm to be in submission to my husband." Well, that you are still a sister in Christ. And sometimes in a mild manner and a meekness and in a humility, as a sister in Christ, you come and say to your husband, say, you know, I'm not coming as your wife to bring authority over you, but I'm a concerned sister in the Lord as well. And I've just been noticing, and if this current trend continues, and just present things in a loving way, walking in the Spirit, and just give it to your husband as something to consider. Now again, now it's his responsibility to be the leader of the home. It's his responsibility. And by the way, men, being the leader of the home doesn't mean you do things without listening to advice. The best leaders in the world get advice, and very often follow the sound advice. And so as a gentleman, you don't get taken back that your wife would bring up finances and your spending. You have to think, wait a second, she's built up the nerve to talk to me about this. And she approached me in a very biblical manner. I would be wise to consider what she said. Remember what the Lord said to Abram? Rachel, she's giving you good advice. Listen to what she said. And so, Sarah. Sarah is giving you good advice. Listen to what she said. And so again, let me just encourage you in that way. It doesn't have to become a boiling point. It doesn't have to become to anger. Both of you need to continue to walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But Paul says, you know what? We sometimes have to learn to do without. Sometimes we have to learn that we don't get everything exactly when we want to get it and as quickly as we get it, and maybe the top of the line model when we get it. Look what he goes on to say in verse number 12. I know, now he knows because he's learned, I know how to be abased. By the way, the word abased, what does it sound like to you? Is that to be abased means to be, it means to be humbled. Again, I'm kind of wondering if that growing up in an affluent home may have been a challenge for Paul to adjust into this model of being a missionary. But he says, I've learned, this humbled him. Maybe sometimes embarrassed him. He wasn't well to do. One of the things, a beautiful story to read, is the story of Jonathan Goforth. How many of you have ever read the story of Jonathan Goforth? A beautiful story and testimonial. I love reading of when he first met the woman that would become his wife. And one of the things that he was made fun of in college, he went to college with just one set of clothes. He came from a very poor family, where Rosalind came from a very wealthy family, a very affluent family. In fact, they had her fly to Canada to where she would attend school. And attending school out of the country in that day had to be only of the affluent family. He was somewhat embarrassed that he didn't have very much. And the one set of clothes he did have wasn't that nice. They would make fun of him. You know, Paul went through some being abased, some humility. He says, I also know how to abound. I also know how to handle myself when the money is coming in. And by the way, that there's where we often fail as well. When finally money does come in, we're so glad for it, we quickly spend it. Again, we've got to be really careful, really guarding ourselves. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so Paul has learned, and by the way, this might be something you need to learn. Maybe you grew up in an affluent family, or maybe you had the years of prosperity where you didn't really have to think about a budget. In fact, you didn't live on a budget because you were making so much money. But maybe now, because of the financial and restructuring of the home, or children coming into the home, or whatever may have happened to your financial structure, now you do have to look. Now you do have to be careful. Well, dear friend, you have to learn, just like Paul did, and the Lord will help you. Listen to what he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:8. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You know, Paul just found there's only a few things we really need. In fact, if you'd study later from Matthew chapter 6 and beginning around verse number 19, I haven't looked at it for a while, but maybe back as early as verse number 12, you're going to learn that, you know what, God will take care of you. You see those sparrows? You see those lilies? They're well taken care of. And so, what state do you go through that keeps you from being content? What state do you go through that keeps you? I'm not talking about a physical state. Yeah, I hate going through New York. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're there, okay, just keep going there. I'm talking about what place are you in life that robs the joy? When do you stop rejoicing in the Lord always? You know, again, dear friend, this shouldn't be dictated by our circumstances. In fact, right now, stop and think about what is the best thing going on in your life right now. If you can think about the circumstances in your life, and you think, wow, this would be number one right now in my life, number one in our lives as a family, this is it, okay? Think of the joy, think of the peace, think of the excitement, think of the happiness. Got that? Let's shift gears. Now let's think of the worst. Let's think of the worst thing going on in your life right now. Is there still peace? Is there still room to rejoice? You see, folks, because it shouldn't be the circumstances that dictates whether or not I have peace. No, peace comes from where? Peace comes from the Lord. Pastor Terry has taught, I remember years ago him teaching through this, the word happiness comes from a word, the happenstance, and it's talking about basically being happy with your circumstances. So at times we're not happy, but we can still be at peace. Don't let anything rob what God gives you. God gives you peace, and He gives you peace so that you can rejoice. And so no matter if it's the best thing going on in your life right now or the worst, we can always rejoice in the Lord always. And here, talking about our finances, maybe you think of the best days in your life financially. Boy, some of you say, man, I remember back in the 70s, or I remember back in the 80s. Some of you say, well, I wasn't even born back then. But you said, boy, I remember that, man, the economy back then and the jobs and the flipping houses and the siding and replacement windows. And wow, we were going from one to the next. And then think today. And some of you say, wow, man, it's been hard. But we can rejoice in the Lord always. We've got to learn. Got to learn to work our way through that. Then secondly, you should have not only a contentment to the place of being complacent, but you should have a confidence that is placed in Christ. And look at verse number 13. And by the way, this is often ripped from its context. Paul writing the church of Philippi, several of his verses, like this one in verse 19 we'll read in a moment, have been ripped from their context to mean about anything. I remember some person claiming to be a Christian yet practicing a very vile sin. And they were using this verse as, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Dear friend, Paul is saying, I've learned that whether the money's coming in or not, whether you're giving to me to help me with the missions project or not, I can do all things through who? It's through that personal relationship. By the way, do you have that personal relationship? Are you a born-again Christian? Are you trusting in Christ alone for your salvation? Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dear friends, the peace that I'm talking about, the rejoicing that I'm talking about, you can try it without being a Christian, but it's based on being a child of God. We'd love to show you how you can become a Christian as well. So here, This is more than just content because God's supply. This is content because God's Son. I'm not content just because I see God supplying. I'm content because I have God's Son. And if I have God's Son, I'll make it. He'll be with me. And while I might have some struggle, I'll make it through life. Look it down, verse number 19. Again, strongly, often torn from its context. It's written to a church that has been giving to missions to the point of sacrifice, to the point almost of pain. They've been giving away more than probably they should have. And he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. This isn't given to somebody who got the extra money and decided to run out and get a new bass boat. Sorry, guys. And say, yeah, well, God's going to supply your needs. Yeah, you still have the electric bill and you still have this bill and that bill. God will take care of that because he's just a great God, even though you foolishly just spent a bunch of money. No, this is written to Christians, but what is Paul ultimately teaching? You know what? God will take care of you. Why can we be content to the place of complacency? It's because we have Christ, and Christ will take care of us. Now, with that in mind, let's go ahead and leave Philippians, and so we won't come back to here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I want to look at two passages briefly, and the message is done. I'd like us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul's going through a trial. Again, no matter what the circumstance, you got to learn to rejoice. He said this trial is coming lest he be exalted above measure. And so this is through the abundance of the revelations. Paul was getting these revelations from God, and it would have been really easy for Paul to kind of become just proud, egotistical. Well, God speaks to me on a regular basis. Him not speaking to you like he is to me, it must be obvious there's a reason that he speaks to me. Yeah, maybe could have very easily become a very proud person. Paul says, you know what, to keep me humble, God allowed there to be this thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to develop what that is. The messenger of Satan, and that was given to buffet me. Again, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse number 8. So for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. I thought that's interesting. He prayed. He knew how many times he prayed about it. Again, he must not have been consumed by it. He must have been giving it to the Lord and regathering and properly, biblically thinking. He says, but I did pray about three times. And he said unto me, my grace is... The word sufficient is the same as content. So, my grace is enough to make you content. It's what Paul is saying here. So he says, I have the ability to help you through this. I'm not going to take it away, but I'll help you to the place that you ought to be just content to still have the thorn in the flesh, whatever it is, this thing to buffet you, to keep you humble. You'll still have that, but be content. Because I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you help. So he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, most gladly. Look at what he says in verse number 9 toward the end. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me, or the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Look at this. In reproaches, in... What's the next word? You know, he said, I'm happy to go without. Because it's when I go without that God takes over. And I learned that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Well, you say, well, Pastor, this is probably a physical infirmity of what's going on here. It really hasn't talking about finances, the direction of your message. I'm glad you identified that. I'm glad you realized that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we will talk about finances. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a great section of two chapters talking about finances and actually to giving to missions, helping with those in Macedonia. And we can begin in chapter 8, verse number 1, but we won't. We're going to start in chapter 9, and we're going to begin looking at verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So we're definitely talking about finances here. He says some of you aren't going to give very much to the help those in Macedonia, and because of that, you're not going to get much in return. Others of you are going to sow bountifully. You're going to give a lot to supply to their bread and to their want, as another verse would say. And I want you to know you're going to reap bountifully. It's going to be according to what how you sow is how you're going to reap. Every man according to how you purpose in your heart. God loves a cheerful giver. But then look what he says in verse number 8 that becomes key to our study. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. There it is, grace abounding towards you. That ye always having all, same word. So what God is saying here, you know what? If you give financially to the cause of missions, you know what? I'll take care of you to the place that you'll be content. Content to the place of complacency. You won't even care. You don't have as much as you used to. Because you'll have all that you need according to his riches and glory. So again, in your mind, begin to blend these passages together. Okay, I can get through this no matter where I am financially. I can learn. I might need to be instructed, and that's what a message like this is put together to help do. I can be instructed, and I'm going to take this instruction. Number one, I got to be careful in my spending and what I'm spending it on. I got to be open to hearing the other ones in the family talk about, hey, where the money is and where we are financially and where it's going. You know, sometimes there's holes in the screen and the bugs get in. Well, sometimes there's holes in our spending and the money gets out. And so we got to say, okay, I'm going to listen to those that are presenting to me, and I'm going to take note. Maybe I'm not wisely spending. Maybe I'm purchasing some things I should not be purchasing. Maybe I'm buying more expensive things when I ought not to be. Maybe I ought to be careful now so I can maybe spend on that down the road. Maybe I'm going to guard that, and then you know what? I'm going to do all I can, and then you know what? I'm going to say, okay, God, now would you take care of my needs, and I'll be content with whatever you give me. Again, I'm going to learn that's going to be sufficient. He can make all grace abound, verse number 8, towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound. You know what? God isn't going to limit you. By him taking care of you is going to let you still abound. Are you familiar with this verse? Let your conversation be without. It's the opposite of contentment. What's the word? Covetousness. You see, that's what gets us. God says, I'll take care of your needs. He never promises to give us all our wants. And what we have to do at times is identify when we're being, as a Christian, covetous. Wanting more. Some of you can't rejoice because you don't have peace, because you're coveting what God is not intending to give you. And so what he says there in Hebrews chapter 13, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, this is one of the things that you have, is him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say that the Lord is your help. So what is he saying there? We need to put off covetousness. And right now, some of you might say to the Lord, Lord, I've been covetous. Lord, I've been coveting. And maybe name what it is. Help me now to be content with what you want me to have. And then as you go throughout this week, again, begin to evaluate where you are. And you say, okay, Lord, as I look at our finances, we have this much more time to stay afloat. Or we have this much more time while we'll have enough money in the savings account. Or this much money in the emergency fund or whatever it may be. And Father, we're in an emergency. So you begin to evaluate, okay, what am I doing personally about this? And then I need to learn. I need to be instructed from this. How to let the Lord supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my help. I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. You know what I've concluded from this? Couple things. I've concluded what David said in Psalm 62, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. And so I made this final conclusion that what we don't need is more money. What we do need is more God. We don't need more money. We need more of God. Let's take wherever we are. Remember, be careful for nothing. Let's give it to Him. Maybe you are in a mess financially. Let's just give it to Him. Let me ask you, if you're in a mess financially, does it help you to dwell on, man, I'm in a mess financially? Does it help you? Do you get more money by thinking about that all day long? You sure don't. Count your many blessings. Maybe what you ought to do is find some things to praise Him for. Well, you think, well, I can't do this, but this I can do, and this I do have, and this no one can take away from me. God will take care of you. You don't have to lose your peace because where you are financially. No. What you have to do is focus on Him and He'll supply your needs. Let's pray. Again, I've already tried to get us throughout the message to begin making this a point of invitation, a point of decision making. Some of you need somewhere along that message to start making some decisions. Some of you right now ought to be talking to the Lord. Lord, help me when I'm prone to spend. Help me to stop and think about, do you want me to have this? Do you want me to have this, Lord? Not do I want to have it. Is this something I ought to get? Lord, my wife's been talking to me and I've been getting angry with her. She's talking to me because she's concerned. I've been getting frustrated. I've been not handling that well. Lord, help me to become more humble. Lord, help me to ask my wife for forgiveness for how I've talked to her, maybe even in this past week because of some of the discussions we've had. Now I need to confess to her that I sinned against her and ask for her forgiveness. I don't need to just tell her I'm sorry. I need to say I've sinned against you. Will you please forgive me? I wasn't walking in the Spirit when she presented that to me. I didn't respond biblically. Maybe some of you need to then be, maybe this is at your place, Pastor, I'm doing all I can. We are trying to be really careful as a couple. Then you present this to the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be worried about nothing. But in everything by prayer, give it to the Lord. He loves you with an everlasting love. And He's promised to help. And then you think on the things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. You'd say, Pastor, through this message, this is fitting to where I am in life. I'm worked up about my finances, or I'm worked up about our finances, or this has been a struggle. Maybe this has even been a battleground within a home, and I need to be instructed along this line. I need to learn to be content. Will you pray for me? This is a humbling thing, and this can be humbling, just like it was for Paul. Just raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me, please. God bless you. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see 8 to 10, 12 hands up right now. You may put them down. Thank you. Anyone else? Hey, Pastor, it's been a challenging time. Your Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing, You Will Take Care of Us, and we believe that. But sometimes it's a battleground in our heart and mind. And so I pray You would help us to grow this upcoming week. You'd help us where we need to ask for forgiveness. You'd help us where we need to listen openly to what our mate or our friend has to tell us and what they have to say, and humbly, humbly receive that. Lord, we need Your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me to hymn number 579? Again, if you are not a child of God, we are more worried.